As we continue in this series that I believe is a series that God gave me because there's a unique breakthrough that God is doing not only in our church, but in our personal lives, in our nation, and in our world. Isn't that great that some of the people that have been captive in the Middle East are returning home? Amen. Tomorrow is going to be an amazing day. And God is the one that appoints authority. Pastor Jack Kayford said this, "You can vote for who you choose, but you don't get to choose who you pray for because that's part of your calling." So we need to be praying for our president, new president, vice president, and our government, our city government, everything. We need to be praying because God is moving. And I promise you, God is moving, and if government gets in the way, God will push them out of the way. We've been discussing not only what grace is, but answering the question in this series, The Plan of God, what grace is. So today what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to you about an attribute of God using a word that is not stated much in the Bible but is stated and a word that we normally do not use. My message is called the immutability truth. God is immutable and can't lie. That truth allows you to know when you believe in Jesus, you enter into a blood covenant. This gives you what we will learn in this series, the power of grace, and we're beginning to move into this, talking to you about the power of grace, not just what it is, but what it does. To walk in a new life of faith, believing God for things you never dreamed would take place in your life. So what does immutable mean? The answer to what does immutable mean is unchangeable. For something that is immutable, it is impossible for them to change. So God cannot change. God has no need to change because God's perfect. I hope you're just, no matter how long you've known the Lord, you're basking in this truth. I'm going to read you quite a few scriptures today, but you're going to see the same theme, and because the theme of this is throughout the Bible. In Numbers 23, verse 19, it says, "God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do?" Notice that. "Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good?" Turn evil to good. 1 Samuel 15, 29, notice the word strength is capitalized because it's speaking of God. And also the strength of Israel, the God of Israel, will not lie nor relent, for he is not a man that he should relent or change. Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." The book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 2. "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." God promised things before time began. God cannot lie, so what God says will come to pass. What the Word of God says to you will come to pass no matter what you are facing. In Hebrews chapter 6, turn to that, and let me give you just a little background of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. Scholars don't really know who wrote Hebrews, but if they asked me, I would tell them Paul did. But anyways, Hebrews was written, though, to the Hebrews. Hebrews was written to the Hebrews. So what I am saying, it was written to people who knew the law. We're Gentiles. We don't understand the law. They knew the Mosaic covenant. It starts with a foundation that many of us Gentiles really don't grasp. And that's why in the book of Hebrews, in many instances, when I teach in the book of Hebrews, I will teach a little bit of the Mosaic law. Hebrews 6:13, this is where we left off last week in my message. It says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham," remember, Abraham believed, "and then righteousness was added to his account." Remember, you believed, became born again, and the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus was added to your account. Jesus took your sins. "Because he," God, "could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself." Verse 14, "saying, surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you." And so after he, speaking of Abraham, had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. "For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute." Notice that. An end of all dispute. When you understand that God's promises cannot change, it ends all dispute. He's immutable. "Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise." I'm going to show you who the heirs of promise are in a moment. "The immutability of his counsel," that's the unchangeableness of his counsel, "confirmed it by an oath." He swore to himself that by two immutable things, unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. This hope we have, watch this, is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. So what we've read is this hope we have is God cannot change, can't change, and he can't lie. Again, everything God said and says is true. It anchors our soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Think about it. Our battles in our thoughts and our feelings, that's the battle. The battle is what you're thinking and what you're feeling. That's always the battle. The battle isn't what is happening. The battle is what you're thinking and feeling about what's happening. Because if you know that God is immutable, the attribute of God, that he can't lie and he can't change, then even though all Hades is breaking loose, you know it'll come around for good. Because God cannot lie and God cannot change, and what he says is true. So the writer is saying, when you're going through a storm, and you know God can't change or lie, you have an anchor. This word immutable is the same word is stated, or immutability is stated two times in the Bible in Hebrews chapter 6. So the writer of Hebrews, watch this, we're talking about this book, is using the Abraham covenant to help us understand the new covenant. The new covenant is the covenant by grace through faith made by blood. Remember, last week, God shows up to Abraham. And this is what Abraham is saying. And bottom line, this is what God is saying to Abraham. And by the way, this is what God is saying to you and me. Listen very closely. I am trying to bring you into great courage, because right now God is moving in a mighty way. Breakthrough is happening, and the enemy doesn't like it. And even though God is moving, answers are coming, you're going to experience and see stuff like the fires, like the hurricane. You're going to see people, evil people, driving a vehicle into a crowd. See, when God shows up to Abraham, Abraham was serving other gods. And God says to him right away, he says, I didn't come to judge you or to condemn you. I have specifically come to bless you. So Abraham believed, and God put in his account, or accounted to him for righteousness. And that's what happens to you and me when we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Grace through faith. Notice, though, in Judaism, when you take an oath, you have to swear by someone greater than you. Now you see people in our courtrooms raise their right hand, put their hand on a Bible. Hopefully they still do that. And they swear by someone greater that they will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's where we get that from. So when you swear to an oath, you swear by someone greater or tougher than you. So now let me explain scripture that we read regarding swearing to an oath. It's very important, because we got to see that God is immutable. He will not change and he will not lie. What he has said to you will come to pass. What are we to do? Receive that grace by believing. And our battle is in our minds. Our battle is in our heart. And I'm going a little bit slow here, because I want you to recognize this is a ploy of the enemy all the time. This is what he wants to do. He wants to get you outside the understanding of who God is. And this attribute of immutability, of not being able to change. He doesn't have to change because he's perfect. God says, as I was coming to you, Abraham, to bless you, I couldn't find anybody greater than me. So I'm going to swear to you, Abraham, based on my own name. So let me ask you this. Would it be okay with you if God came to you and made a promise to you, and in that promise, he swore by himself he would do this for you? Would that be okay? Because that's what he's done before the foundation of the earth. And what you did is you believed like Abraham did. It's called the New Covenant. And we'll dig deeper later on with this. God made an oath with you based on his own name, and there are two things that can't change. Now, Hebrews 6:17 in the New American Standard says this, in the same way, like Abraham, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose. God's purpose in your life does not change. Romans 4. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. He said, watch this, I'm going to paraphrase it so you get what he just said. In the same way that I made an oath, a covenant with Abraham, I swear to you and take an oath and let me remind you that I can't lie and I made a new covenant with you. Church family, I want to remind you that's what God said and that's what God did. That's what grace is. And that's what grace does. It brings us into an understanding of the God that we serve and what that grace does. And we're going to show you now, we're going to experience these things that he does for us. And there's such a surety in your life and in mine that when we live our lives today and we understand and we're facing tribulation, we're facing tough times, we're facing decisions, we make wrong decisions, we blow it once in a while, that we have a God that doesn't change. We have a God that has set things in standard, and not because it's a good thing to do, because that's who he is and that's what he did. And we have to accept it. We have to receive it and walk in it in spite of the evil world or evil things that we face. So let's allow grace to sink in how good it is. So the question then, what are the two unchangeable things? Some say, well, we can't lie, can't change. I'm going to tell you, those aren't the two things it's talking about. But it talked about the attribute of God that he can't lie and that he can't change. So through the attribute of God, this is what grace does. All right, you follow me? All right, so let's just give you the first one. The first one is Jesus is our high priest forever. Hebrews 6:20, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Verse 17 of chapter 7. For he testifies, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Verse 23. Also there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. In other words, there are many priests. Why? Because after a few years, they die. And then the younger ones take over. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. And he is Jesus. So please know, watch this, I'm taking you on this journey. This is the only time the word unchangeable is used. There is no possibility that Jesus will not remain the high priest when you believe in him. Hebrews 10, 11 and 12, this is great. And every priest, every one of them, stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices. Why? Which can never take away sins. Here it is. Jesus, our high priest. But this man, that's Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. He sat down because it is finished and he's never going back to the cross again. He's unchangeable. He's our high priest. And forever and ever, you and I are walking in a covenant relationship with God because why? We believed. That's what this is about. Jesus lived the perfect life. He died the perfect death. And he performed the perfect sacrifice. God's done his part. So we do our part. What is our part? Believe. God can't change and he can't lie, so he made his son our high priest forever. So I walk in a surety that even though I'm not perfect, I confess my sins, but I walk in a surety that I am going to heaven. I will live an eternal life with my Lord and Savior. And I know this because he can't change and he can't lie. That's the God that you and I serve. His promises are yea and amen. He can't change. He can't lie. And you know, I'm telling you, because we're human. We know that we know that we know this is what we're supposed to do. Doesn't work out. Then we know that we know that we know we're supposed to do this. No. This is what God said. Doesn't matter what hell serves you. You stand up and say, my God can't lie and he can't change. And I know he said this to me. Why? Because it's in the Word. It's what the Word of God says. And so I'm going to rise up for my children, for my grandchildren. I'm going to rise up for my spouse. I'm going to rise up for my home. And I'm going to see the things of God move in such a unique way. Why? Because I believe in the unchangeable God. And what he says. Amen? Ooh, that's why I was excited when I walked in here. Here's the second thing. That Jesus is our mediator of the new covenant forever. Jesus is our mediator of the new covenant forever. This will never change. There will never be another. There will never be another God. There never be another way to Jesus. He is the only way. Amen. The world will tell you there's many ways. Scripture tells you there's one way through Jesus. Hebrews 8:6. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Better covenant with better promises. It's not talking about the Abrahamic covenant, but it's talking about the Mosaic covenant. Now, when I say that, everyone goes, what's that? Well, we'll show you that in this series. But I want you to grab a hold of this, is the Abrahamic covenant, why he uses that, and it shows us what we have in the new covenant. It is a type of how that takes place. But the better promises are better than the Mosaic covenant. And I'm going to show you just a tad bit of it here. So the Abrahamic covenant was symbolic of the new covenant. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, the Mosaic covenant was given. So is the new covenant better? Yes. But let me ask you this. Why is the new covenant better? So the answer to that, I'm going to just explain now. We'll finish. The new covenant can do something the old covenant cannot do. It can cleanse your sin The new covenant, not just cover your sin. When it cleanses you, it can cleanse your conscience also, so you don't serve God out of, Scripture talks about, dead works. Now I'm getting doctrinal here. And I fought against the Lord. I said, you know, Lord, let's not go too deep. Let's do that on Sunday night. But he said, no, my people are ready. They're wanting to drink this in. All right? So drink this in. This is such a truth. When you understand it, all that junk out there in the world, that deception out there, you'll look at it and say, I got a better covenant. I don't need anything else. So there are many believers who serve God out of dead works. So the question is, what is a dead work? A dead work is a work not initiated by God. A dead work is a work trying to earn the favor of God. So if you don't understand the immutability of God, that he doesn't change, that he's proclaimed, I've come to bless you, and I've come to remove sin, and I've set this in line with the two things that cannot change, then if we don't understand that, then we're going to fall to dead works, because we're going to try to work our way into the favor of the Lord, to work our way into some type of healing, work our way into some type of prosperity. Because the word says, it pleases God to prosper you. And we're trying to work our way. If you do this, do that, then maybe God will do it. Maybe God will answer my prayer. And I want to tell you, no, you do it by believing that God already did the work on the cross. He already took stripes on his back for your healing. What do you have to do with that? Believe. All right, yes, you need to cross the road, look both ways before you do it, or you might die crossing the road. But God said he'd protect me. Look both ways, all right? Walk in wisdom, right? Okay, so I said that just because I know where the enemy wants us to drift in our thinking. Because many of us have been taught, got to do more. Just got to do more. Because if you do more, God's going to... His purposes will prevail. His purposes will not change. What he has promised you, he will do. Walk in it by believing. And if you believe, then what happens? Works follow it. See that? Hebrews 9:9. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. The old covenant can't cleanse our conscience. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, Holy Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serving the living God? The power of God, the power of grace moving through you because you believed. Faith moves. Why? Because you believed in the work of grace. And for this reason, he is a mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Hebrews 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifice which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered if the sacrifice of the old covenant worked to cleanse, then they should have ceased because it was a done deal. For the worshipers once purified would have had no more consciousness of sins. But the word perfect is not talking about our performance, but our position with God. So it's saying that all these sacrifices would bring you into a position with God of what the new covenant brings. They would have stopped sacrificing. But see, bottom line, they got it out of line and it was performance. And I'm just trying to tell you, we are a people called of God, born again, anointed of the Holy Spirit for good works. But the works do not make you perfect. It is Jesus, and that's unchangeable. My perfectness is a done deal. And now because I understand that, God cannot change, then the things that I do produce great fruit. Because it's not dead works. They're works that are alive. They're alive. That's why sometimes in life, sometimes you do good to people who are evil. Why is it? Not because they're finally going to accept it or they're finally going to turn around. No, because that's who you are. That's what God has made you. And because you are the one born again, changed, perfected, now you do good works. Wow. So that kind of messes with our thinking when people do wrong. Here it is. Jesus lived a perfect life, so we put our faith and trust in him. Yes, we are to live righteous and deny ungodliness, but grace does that. But grace can make us clean in the sight of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. So I can't earn anything that God has already promised me. I receive it by faith. And because of that faith and that belief, righteousness in me produces good works. Again, it cleanses you in your conscience so you're not running around trying to get God's approval. Please stop that. Here's another statement. Please stop this. Well, you don't know what I used to do. You think God would do this for me because of what I did in my past? Here's my statement. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, he would. See, we become like what we focus on. So many people focus on their failures instead of focusing on God's goodness and God's grace. See, I was a sinner. I'm saved by grace. Focus on that. Jesus is the mediator of a better promise. So what is the difference between the old and new covenant? Let's close with this. The old covenant, God says, I'm making a covenant. I will do my part and I'll give you the law and you obey the law. Israel says, okay. And before Moses got down from the mountain, they broke four laws. So what does scripture say? You break one, you break all of them. What's the new covenant do? God says, I'm going to make a new covenant with you, and here's my part. I'm going to love you. I'm going to protect you. I'll provide for you. I'll forgive all your sins, and you will live forever. I will be your God. Here's our part. God brings Jesus in the picture. Jesus, this is Gary. Gary, this is Jesus. Gary, Jesus is my son. He became man and went to earth. He died to pay for all the things you've done wrong. and this is my part, we miss it. Grace. Jesus also lived for you. He lived the perfect life and kept the whole law. God says, so Gary, if you believe in Jesus, then you and I enter a covenant with each other. I'll be your God and you will be my son. I said to God 49 years ago, I believe. God can't change and he can't lie. Because of that, I put my faith in Jesus. And he is my high priest forever. And he is my mediator, the go-between of God and us of a better covenant. That's what grace does. Grace produces a perfect relationship with our Creator. What do you got to do for it? Believe. That's it. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. So take a deep breath. Take a very deep spiritual breath. Everything that's going on in your life. Realign yourself in your belief system. God can't change. God can't lie. He is your high priest. He's your mediator. Because of him is why you have what you have with God. If there are things in your life needs to change, amen. That's what righteousness does. But you know what God says? I didn't come to condemn you. I came to bless you. I came to love you. That's the God that I serve. And whatever comes my way, emotionally, it can be tough sometimes. But spiritually, I rise up because I serve an unchangeable God. Father, as we leave this place, we thank you for the many that have received Christ and the many that are receiving Christ right now. They believe in their heart, confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. All this that I proclaimed today is yours. The very moment. To my brothers and sisters, I just proclaim in Jesus' name a breakthrough of revelation that is manifesting all over the world. People are becoming born again and confessing Jesus Christ as Lord all over the world. We pray for India. We pray for the Philippines. We pray for our nation as the inauguration is tomorrow. That our new president, you have given us the right, the privilege, and also the commandment to pray for those that are over us. And in Jesus' name, I proclaim the protection of the Lord over everybody that serves their community in the political realm. In Jesus' name, council members, mayors, House, Senate, everybody involved, I proclaim a protection that the gospel of Jesus Christ could be preached around the world because the United States of America was founded on the principles of the Bible. And we give you honor for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for church. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. See you tonight at 6 o'clock.